Anytime we give anything to God, it is our worship. Whether we give our time, our goods, our services, giving is simply an act of worship. Whether you give him praise, so Father, thank you for the ability and the privilege to give into your kingdom. Lord, we honor you with our substance and the first fruits of all of our increase, so that our barns will be filled with plenty and our vats will burst out with new wine. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your gifts, you can give them any time. If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to the book of Acts, chapter 15. I simply want to share with you tonight about hearing and believing. Two simple things that can have a great impact on your life. What you hear and what you believe. And what you hear will end up being what you believe. If you're constantly hearing about problems, what can't be done, the impossibility, then you're not going to really have any faith to overcome those problems or to change that impossibility into something possible, right? Let's just take, you know, for me, for example, it took my sister inviting me to church more than once before I went. Now, I went to another church, but it was a dead church. But she kept asking me, and she kept asking me, and she kept asking me. And she did it with a gracious attitude. She was never critical. She just said, "Do you want to go to church with me?" And I said, "No." She said, "Okay. Next week, you want to go to church with me?" "Well, I don't think so." "Okay. You want to go to church with me?" "Well, how long is the service?" "2 hours." "2 hours for church?" But I kept hearing that, and behind the scenes, probably her and her friends were probably praying for me, which allowed the Holy Spirit to draw my heart. And the very next week, she said, "You want to go to church with me?" And I said, "Yes." How did I get to that? Because I kept hearing her invitation. And the Holy Spirit kept working on my heart. Well, make a long story short, I did, God did, and that was the rest of the story. But in Acts chapter 15, in verse 7, Peter makes a statement here in the latter part of the verse. It says, "Peter rose up and said to them, 'Men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe.'" I want you to pay attention to those two things: to hear the word of the gospel and believe. And Peter was referring to when he went to Cornelius' house. All right? The heart of the gospel is hearing and believing. Amen? The heart of the gospel is not just hearing. James said, if you hear the word of God and don't do it, you deceive yourself. Right? So, what you hear will determine what you believe, will determine the results that occur in your life. To believe is to grasp something, is to possess it, and to act on it. In other words, when a person says, "I believe this," their mind, their will, and their emotions are going to converge in what they believe, whether good or bad. All right, if someone believes it's okay to rob banks, you know, they better be prepared to live a life on the run. So, to believe is to put what you heard into action. Okay? Now, in order to hear what God said, you've got to be around, number one, teaching and preaching. Number two, you've got to be able to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, whether it's audible or still small voice within, right? So people have to be around preaching and teaching, and they have to be around the voice of the Holy Spirit. Is that true? And in order to receive what you hear, you've got to have an open heart. You've got to have a teachable spirit, and you've got to be willing to obey what he says. So you've got to have an open heart, you've got to have a teachable spirit, and you've got to have a willingness to obey what's said. Right? If you're not willing, go with me to Isaiah chapter 1. For just a minute. You know, sometimes the Holy Spirit's like deep water. You know, deep water moves slowly on the surface. The shallower water moves a little bit more rapid. But sometimes deep water has a slower movement to it. That doesn't, you know, just because there's a slow movement doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit's not working. Right? Okay? In Isaiah 1:19, the Bible says this. If, look at that word if. Anytime the Bible has the word if, you have a choice. It's not automatic. If you be willing and what? You've got to be both. You can't be obedient and not willing. Because God knows the heart. He knows the motive. If you have the outward display of obedience, but you're not willing on the inside, then God's going to know. You're not going to fool God. Now, people may say, oh, look, they're doing this. They must be great. But, you know, that's what he said about the Pharisees. He called them whitewashed tombstones. They were tombstones that were power washed. They looked good on the outside, but he said inside they were full of dead men's bones. And the Pharisees resisted his teaching. They resisted what they heard. And they never really believed. Some of them did, but not all of them. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. How many want to eat the good? You know, eat the good is more than just about, it's more than just dealing with your appetite. God is good. When you're eating the good, you're experiencing the best that God has to offer. And there's two simple qualities that he has for us to experience the best that he has to offer: to be willing and obedient, the combination of the two. He said, if you're willing and obedient, you shall. That is a strong word. Okay? So go with me to Matthew chapter 13. I sense that the Lord wants to strengthen your beliefs tonight. In other words, he wants you to be able to believe for greater things. Okay? Because it is your faith that pulls from the unseen into the seen. Faith, now faith is the substance of things what? Hoped for. It's the evidence of things what? Not seen. So if you've got faith, if you've got God's word for something, and you're willing and you're obedient to what God said in his word, and you're convinced that it's not going to go any other way, that's going to cause whatever you're believing for to come right here where you are. Matthew 13 and verse 13. He says, therefore, speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which said, by hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see, and shall not perceive. But he goes on to explain what he's talking about. Look at verse 15. For this people's heart is waxed gross. The Amplified says, it has hardened or become dull. How many miracles do you think the Pharisees of Jesus' day saw? You know, he would heal on the Sabbath day just to prove them wrong. He did that often. Okay? A dull heart already has the attitude like, I'm not going to be convinced unless it comes my way. I'm not going to be convinced if God does it his way. Take, for example, Thomas. The disciples were gathered together. Jesus appears to them. Thomas wasn't there. Now the disciples, he had at least 10 counts of people telling him that Jesus is risen from the dead, right? What was his answer? I'm not going to believe unless I can touch him with my hands and see him with my eyes. Now, he already had the precondition. You might say in that instance, his heart was a little hard. Think about it. He traveled with these guys for 3 years. And he's got more than one person telling him that Jesus rose from the dead, and he's not believing it. And when Jesus appeared to him when he was there, Jesus allowed him to touch him. But what did Jesus say? He said, blessed are those who believe that don't see. He allowed Thomas to touch him, but he didn't bless Thomas. You know, it's like Peter when he walked out on the water. He didn't say, well, Peter, you made it this far. Good job. No, he didn't. He said, why did you doubt? See, sometimes we can be willing for God, but our willingness wears off real quick. Or our obedience wears off real quick. And therefore, we experience God's goodness for a short time, but then it kind of loses its effect. So look at what he goes on to say. Their ears... For verse 15, for the people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest at any time they should see. Is someone whose eyes closed incapable of seeing? It's more than just their eyes, it's really an attitude of the heart. Okay? Notice, because lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart, and it should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. Go with me to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. What are we talking about? We're talking about hearing and believing. Two things that can transform your life. You can hear about healing, and you can embrace the... Let me ask you something. If you heard that Jesus was the healer, okay? How many believe that Jesus is the healer? How does a healed person talk? How does a healed person act? But too many times, we don't take Jesus' word for it. We don't think we're healed until we feel it. Well, I still got this pain, therefore I must not be healed. No. You're going by your feelings. In other words, here's what happens. If you had a scale, all right? And if you listen to your feelings more than you do the word of God, what are you going to have faith for? You're going to have faith for your feelings more than what Jesus says in his word. The more what you hear about is what you're going to have more faith in. Let's just take the example of the Israelites when they went into Canaan the first time. They had this some of them had this mentality that they were grasshoppers. And so they went in there, and even though they saw everything God said was true, it was a land that was flowing with milk and honey. It was a fertile land. It was a good land, right? They saw all that. But they saw the giants. Now, their negative report affected the whole camp. Because people heard more negative things than they heard positive things, and their faith was in the negative more than it was in the positive. It changed the whole nation. So for 40 years, they wandered around in the wilderness because they believed the wrong report. Now, two were crying out, we believe God, but 10 were crying out the opposite. So Israel had more faith in the negative than they did in the positive. So the negative ended up winning out. And those people who had faith in the negative did not possess the land. They did not possess the promise. Mark 6. Verse 1. And he went out from there and came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. So what's he doing? He's teaching, right? They're having church. Jesus is preaching. He's teaching. Okay? Are people hearing the word? Yes, because he is the word. They're hearing the pure word. They're getting it straight from the source. They're getting the truth. Okay? And many hearing him were what? Astonished. Is astonished a feeling of surprise, of wonder, of amazement? Okay? Now, saying, from where has this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? So they heard the word, and did they see some things happen? Okay? Now notice, what they saw is shifted now to the natural. Is not this the carpenter's son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and of Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were what? Because they got their eyes in the natural, they missed the spiritual message. Because what they saw was overriding what they heard. And they got offended. Is offense a choice? Absolutely. You can be on offense or defense. It's your choice. Now, look at verse 4. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. And look at verse 5. He could what? It didn't say he didn't do. It said he what? Couldn't do. So when we're hearing and believing the wrong thing, we actually hinder God's power from working in our lives. If you believe the truth, knowing the truth makes you free, then what will happen if you know a lie? You'll be in bondage. God could bring a nation out of slavery, but it was harder for him to get the slavery mentality out of the people. He wanted to give them something different. They kept wanting what they had. They had trouble embracing what was new. See, now, oftentimes, God is a creator. As a creative person, creative people don't like to do the same thing over and over again. Monotony drives a creative person crazy. Let's change it up a little bit. Let's shake it up a little bit. See, now what happens is we get so used to our routine that we become familiar with it. And when God does something, wants to do something new out of our routine, we can freak out. Because I like my routine. I know my routine. I'm familiar with my routine. Yeah, but I want to do something new. Jesus said, you cannot put new wine into an old wineskin. Now, when you think of those skins that they would hold wine, a wineskin needs to be flexible. Because when you put liquid into it, it needs to be able to expand. So it needs to be pliable. But if you were to put your wineskin in the sun and leave it there for days with no liquid in it, it's going to dry up. It's going to get stiff. It's going to become rigid. It's going to become immovable. When you try to put liquid in it, it's not going to hold it. So when God wants to do something new, and he's got a group of people that are stiff and rigid, they're locked into this way, and they can't accept the new way, then they're going to miss out on what God is doing here. Because if he tried to do what he's doing here, there, it wouldn't work. Because here requires us to change. Jesus could do no mighty work there. Not that he didn't want to, he couldn't. Because they were believing the wrong thing. Go to Luke 18. Luke 18. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You know, like the tide is rising, I feel faith rising. Yes, hallelujah. How many want to believe for bigger things? Yes. You know, you can't take $10 faith and believe for a $100 miracle. You'll be shortchanged $90. You have to build your $10 faith up to 100 so that you can believe for the 100. And then when you believe for the 100, then you can build it up to more. Faith is a continual building process. You never stop building your faith. You never stop feeding your faith. You never stop exercising your faith. You never stop doing what God said to do. I'm just going to take a day off from faith today. No, sorry, there are no day offs from faith. Faith, the just shall live Do you take a day off from living? I hope not. We don't take a day off from living, but the just are supposed to live by what? Faith. We're never supposed to take a day off from faith. Oh, I just don't feel like believing God today. Uh-uh. Doesn't work. No. That means you're taking that opportunity to feed your flesh. And the more you feed your flesh, the weaker your faith will be or your spirit will be. Okay? Luke 18, look at verse 35. It came to pass that as he was come near to Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. Look at verse 36. And what? Hearing the multitude pass. Think about it. He's sitting there by the wayside. And he all of a sudden hears this large group of people, a multitude. He's wondering what's happening. See, the hearing got his attention. What he was hearing sparked his interest. Hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passes by. That was all he needed to hear. When he heard that it was Jesus passing by, Jesus is the Word, isn't he? He's the Word made flesh, and he dwelt among us. Jesus is the flesh in, he is the Word in flesh form. Okay? In other words, the body that Jesus walked in was the container for the Word of God. Just like you and I are containers for the Word of God, because we're supposed to hide God's Word in our hearts. When he heard, it was Jesus. Now, do you think he heard some other things about Jesus prior to this? He heard about miracles that he did. Maybe he heard about how he healed other blind men. Maybe he heard about how he healed the leper. Maybe he heard about how he raised Lazarus. I don't know. But he heard some things about Jesus, and when he heard it was Jesus, something sparked in him. That's all he needed to believe. What did he begin to do? Verse 37 or verse 38, and he cried saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. See, the minute he heard and believed, he started to act. Okay? Now, look at verse 39. They which went before rebuked him that he should hold his peace. Now, how many of you would have stopped right there? How many would the voice of the crowd would have been louder than your faith if you'd have stopped? He had an opportunity to listen to the crowd or to continue calling on Jesus. The crowd represents, it could represent your feelings, your emotions. It could represent the opinions of others. Could he have stopped what he was hearing? Yes. He was being offered something. They rebuked him. But see, when you're in faith, nothing can stop you. Faith doesn't quit. Amen. Say that with me. Say, faith doesn't quit.
Faith doesn't quit.
Say, faith never gives up.
Faith never gives up.
Faith never stops believing. See, I'm a person of faith. I don't quit. I don't give up. I don't stop believing. You got to understand, it doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter what the circumstances say. It doesn't matter. All that matters is what he says right here. That's all that matters. But he cried so much the more. Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what will you that I should do? In other words, Jesus basically said, name your miracle. What do you want me to do? Notice he had to name it. Couldn't Jesus tell that he was blind? Sure he could. But the Bible tells us to believe in our heart and to what? Confess with our mouth. And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive your sight because of my power. Did he say that? Receive your sight because of what? Your faith has saved you. Immediately, notice, he received his sight. He received his sight by faith because of what he heard and what he believed. How are you going to receive what you need from God? Same way. Let's say you need finances. Okay? Now, if you've been listening to how bad the economy is, it's going to be hard to have faith for finances. Because you've been hearing how bad the economy is. Oh, it's the economy, the economy, the economy. Blah! Ugh! Tooey! Change what you've been listening to. What does God say about finances? The Bible says he's Jehovah Jireh. The Bible says that God will meet your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, if you've been listening to the economy versus listening to what God says, you're going to have to hear a little bit more about what God says. Amen? I heard a story of a lady that had lupus. Okay? What is that, like a bone marrow cancer type thing? Okay. Well, this lady, she began to say, Jesus is my healer, and I'm healed. And the story goes, she said that about more than 1,000 times. Why would someone say something like that? Because how does faith come? Faith comes especially when you're hearing yourself say what God said. So she I don't know if she walked around, but she kept saying that over and over and over again. Guess what happened? She was healed because of her faith. I have a question for you, another question. What can change the heart of a man? Give me some of your answers. What can change the heart of a man? Will criticism change the heart of a man? Will complaining change the heart of a man? The heart of a man will change what they hear and what they believe. If you want to change the heart, you got to change what they've been hearing. You can't change what you believe until you change what you've heard or what you're hearing. Go with me to Romans 10. Romans 10. Look at verse 17. So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the what? You know, faith doesn't come by the opinion of others. Faith is not going to come by saying, oh, I heard so-and-so say. You know, faith is not going to come if you say, pastor said. Faith doesn't come that way. If you're saying what someone else said, faith is not going to come. Faith comes here by hearing what God said. All right? But let's back up to verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Well, in order to believe, what do you got to do? You got to be able to hear what he says. Once you hear what he says, then you can decide whether or not you're going to believe it. Okay? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not what? Heard. And how shall they hear without what? A preacher. And how shall they preach except he be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring what? Glad tidings of good news. If every believer would just see the word of God as glad tidings of good news. But look at verse 16. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. How can you tell if someone obeys the gospel? Fruit, did you say? How they live and what they say. You can only tell if someone believes the gospel by the change that takes place. If you say you believe the gospel and you're still living a sinful life, you don't really believe the gospel. Because when you believe something, you're taking it inside of you. You're taking it into your heart. And then it will then produce a change in your life. That is the only way that you can tell if someone believes. Now, I'm not talking about when you believe doesn't mean you're never going to miss it or make a mistake. Okay? You are still, we in this flesh body are quite capable of missing it, making mistakes, and, you know, having a fit of carnality. We still have that option. But the true believer, when they miss it, they will repent and make it right quickly. Peter denied the Lord three times, but then he repented. Judas never repented. Look at the different results. What message have you heard about your situation? Who has believed our reports? Go with me to Philippians chapter 4. Have you heard about unsaved family members? Have you ever heard, oh, they're never going to get saved, they're such and such way? But is that the truth? No. Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, what's true? God's word. Whatsoever things are honest, what's honest? How about just? How about pure? How about lovely? And look at what it says in here. Whatsoever things are of what? A good report. What are you supposed to do? If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, what are you supposed to do? Think on what these things, what things? Whatsoever things are true. Okay? Are your feelings true? They are real. And they do get activated in certain situations. But are they true? Would you say that your feelings are good leaders? So, when you have feelings, you got to line up your feelings. You got to say, okay, what does God say about these feelings? Let's take anger. What does God say about anger? Don't let the sun what? Go down on your wrath. Go with me to John chapter 1. I'm getting ready to finish here. John chapter 1. Look at verse 7. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. That all men through him might what? Now he's talking about John who was baptizing. He said, he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lights every man that comes into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Can you imagine? The Creator shows up to the world that he made, and the world doesn't know him. Because they were expecting something different. See, if you're wanting God to move your way, you know, sometimes we don't necessarily get to tell God how to do things. He may surprise you by how he does things. But you know what? He knows how to get results. And he knows what we need. He may say, go to Zarephath, because there I've prepared a widow to provide for you. Well, that doesn't make sense, God, but okay, I'll go to Zarephath. He goes to Zarephath. What happens? His provision is there. Isn't that interesting? His provision was the exact place where God said it would be. That was up to him to obey and trust. Okay? He came, verse 11, he came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he what? He gave power. What is it that you're dealing with tonight? Anybody got some situations that they're dealing with tonight? God's got an answer for whatever situation you deal with. It could be a broken heart. It could be lack. It could be a physical condition. Now it's up to us to hear what he says about that situation, because that will give us faith to change that situation. But if you're hearing the negative side of your situation, the situation will never change. How many want some things to change in their life? All right? Let's worship God for just a minute. You got a few minutes yet? Let's worship God. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Can we sing that song? Hallelujah. Just go ahead and sing it. Just use your voice. Yeah. Hallelujah. 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 Now I want you to say this with me. Say, Heavenly Father, I ask you to tell me what you say about the situation that I'm in right now. I need to hear your word. I need to receive your direction. I need to receive your instruction, so that my situation can change. My faith is in what you say. I don't care what I feel. I don't care what others say. I want what you say, Lord. In Jesus' name. I will believe what you say. and I will not change my mind. But when I hear what you say, then I will say what you say. In Jesus' name, I will stand my ground. I will not back down, but I will believe you with my whole heart, with all my soul, and with all my strength. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I want you to write your situation down. Whatever it is that you need God to do. And I want you to listen. You may have to study God's word to find out what God says about your situation. And I want you to get at least three things that God says about your situation. All right? And I want you to write what God says about your situation. Write it down. Why write it down? Because you got to see it so that when you see it, you can run with it. And then when you write what God says down about it, from this moment forth, you need to speak what God says about your situation and nothing else. All right? You're not going to speak anything else about your situation other than what God says about it. And sickness does not belong to you, so don't take ownership of any sickness. Don't say, my disease or my sickness. No, it's not yours. So don't take ownership of it. All right? If you're sick, you could say, by his stripes, I am healed. If you need finances, you could say, he supplies my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, if you have a financial need, God may say, give this. Because given, it shall be given to you. So you sometimes to unlock God's provision, you got to follow the instruction to do what doesn't seem natural to do or logical to do. Okay? And the situations that you're dealing with right now, they're going to be changed forever. Hallelujah. Because you're going to set in motion your faith. And your faith is going to bring what you need into the realm of reality. Or into the physical realm, I should say. Because the spiritual realm is a real realm too, so you can't take it from the real to the real. But you're bringing it from the spiritual to the natural. Okay? So what are you going to do? You're going to write down your whatever you need God to do. You're going to write down at least three things that God says about your situation. And you're going to speak those things over your situation. Now, when does your situation change? When you believe it does. It doesn't change when you see the change. It changes the moment you believe it. Okay? That's when it changes. So you've got to see it changed from this point on. And that is hearing and believing. Amen? I hope you got that. It's a little bit different. We're not having a prayer line, but you have an instruction to follow. And those who believe and follow that instruction, they'll see results. Those who don't, well, have a great night. God bless you.